grew up differently than my husband. We're both Christians, and we both love the Lord, but he comes off very rough and very to the point, but sometimes his words are really tough where he says, it's either me or him. You can't have us both.
Wow. Listen, welcome to Intentional Living. This is about real life. We only deal with real life here because life is short, and we believe that when we experience life the way God intended, a lot of these questions, all of these questions can be easily answered. Really, they can. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy to live out, but there's a solution, and the solution is being intentional in your walk with Christ, whatever you're facing today, of your own choices or the choices of others. Living intentionally is the answer. That's why we're here. Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen and our team, we got some callers lined up we're going to get to in a moment. If you'd like to share a question on our comment line or respond to something that you've heard, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717. Let's get into the questions. And Joanne, you're going to be first. What's your question today?
We have a powerful teenager and a powerful dad in the house. And with that combination, my question is, as a submissive wife, how do I support and help in the home without, you know, jumping in and making my husband feel as though I'm taking over when he and the teenager are getting to that escalating point where all the peacock feathers are ruffled and puffed up?
And you want me to answer this in 2 minutes, right? You know what? Here's what I hear. I hear, Joanne, that you're a wife and a mom, and you find yourself getting sucked in between your husband and your son. Like, you feel at some point you got to jump in.
I feel that sometimes it gets out of hand, and it's getting too loud and too escalated to where it's kind of like that back and forth. Who can be louder?
Yeah, and what I also hear, though, and I think it's more important, the words that we use are so important because they reveal what's going on the inside. And you said two things. One is, how can I be submissive to my husband or be a submissive wife, or I think you said, and then not make him feel? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. I can't say anything. I'm supposed to be submissive, and I'm not supposed to make him feel anything. I mean, you talk about being put in a box. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. You know, the Bible talks about submission, but that doesn't mean we're doormats, doesn't mean we don't speak up, it doesn't mean we don't deal with issues. Clearly, it says in the Bible that we are not only to be submissive and respectful, but also that we are to be submissive one to another, it says in Ephesians 5:21, out of obedience to Christ. Here's the point, Joanne. If you got a problem, you need to take your husband by his ear lovingly behind closed doors in the bedroom or when you go out for a date and say, honey, I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. You're destroying a relationship with your son. You're going to regret this someday. And I'm no longer the referee. I'm not jumping in. I can't solve this. This is between you and your son. But it grieves me to see that. It grieves me to see that. And he needs to hear that from you. That's a responsibility. That is something you don't want to look back on someday and say, I should have, and I didn't. Because I'll tell you what, I bet you $10 with inflation, $15, that in your heart somewhere, you are hurting and it's impacting your relationship with your husband. And so being intentional to be able to talk to your husband about the truth, how you feel and what's going on and what you observe. Now, you can do it respectfully. You can do it quietly, but I really encourage you to do it. And if your husband doesn't listen, then that's not going to be helpful for him and certainly not for your kids. All right. Again, you have a comment. Love to hear it on our storyline, 888-888-1717. I think we've got another caller from Arizona.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Mavi. I was just calling because I wanted to ask a question. I am married and we are a blended family. My husband has two kids, a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old, soon to be 12. When two parents don't agree on raising their kids, going to church, and giving their life to God, is what we're trying to do. But the mother, she's just letting them live the life how they want to live and do the things that they want to do. What can we do? How can we work together? We try talking to her. Communication's not working. She's just not wanting to listen to anything that we have to say and thinks that everything that the kids are doing, it's okay when it's not, especially because of their ages. They're doing inappropriate things that they shouldn't be doing. The 11-year-old has a boyfriend and is just doing things that an 11-year-old shouldn't be doing. And I just don't know how to work, what to do.
Mm. Well, Mavi, listen, this is part of the dilemma and the pain point in many blended families. Let's face it, if he, your husband, and his former wife were in agreement, maybe they never would have divorced. And so this is maybe one more consequence or one more reality of what you're seeing in terms of the relationship, you know, with this ex-spouse. Now, we practice a 3-foot rule here, Mavi, which means that I can only be responsible for what happens in about 3 feet of myself or in our home. That's it. You can have a home that's filled with love, respect, boundaries, good listening, openness, wisdom, godliness, even though the ex-spouse doesn't, the other parent doesn't. But don't feel like you can control or have to control what goes on in that home. You can't. The second thing we teach at Intentional Living is, to the degree possible, the Bible says, live at unity or peace with everyone. In other words, what can you do, even if it means you got to bite your tongue sometimes and bend over backward, to have a good or decent relationship with that person, that woman, to have some influence in her life? Sounds like she needs Jesus too. You need to be praying like crazy that God will move in her life and save her, that something could radically change the direction of her life. And to the degree possible, to maintain that relationship with her is really powerful. Two things: 3-foot rule and living at peace to the extent possible. And having a home that's so filled with love and grace that your kids, frankly, would be foolish not to see the difference themselves. Because kids are not stupid. They can see the difference. They may not see it now, but I can promise you they'll look back later and they'll see it. I've seen enough of it, been around long enough to know that's reality.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
You know, what does it take to sharpen an edge, not only on an axe, but in our own life? And I wrote down 7 things that I think we need to do to sharpen an edge. First of all, it takes time. You know, if I want to sharpen this axe, it's going to take a lot of my time. It's a lot easier to leave it in the garage and not sharpen it. It's a lot easier not to sharpen the edges of our lives. It's a lot easier just to go about our business than to stop and talk about our business. It's a lot easier to go about a marriage than it is to stop and figure out how to make a marriage work. It's a lot easier just to get up and parent your kids than it is to stop and read some books and take some classes and learn how to be intentional and be the kind of parent that God wants you to be. It's a lot easier just to go to church on Sunday than it is to get up every day and sharpen the edge by reading the Bible and praying and meditating.
Amen to that.
Listen, that's the featured lesson this month, is how to sharpen the edge, which, by the way, is a very biblical thing to do. We're reminded in the Wisdom of Solomon, it takes twice as much time to cut down the tree if you don't have a sharp blade. And that's true in our lives as well. We're talking parenting today with questions coming in from around our listening area. Love to hear from you and on our storyline, 888-888-1717. All right, let's see. What's next? Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way or when your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan. Be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great. This is what my plan was. And I'm ready to respond in the right way. Again, have a plan of how you're going to react when your son or your daughter doesn't react the way you want them to. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready and you're going to react in a godly way.
Yeah, listen, she was responding to a show we were doing on yelling and how yelling is so ineffective. And I always reference that little that verse in Ecclesiastes that says, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. So if you find yourself having to yell to get somebody's attention, that's not very effective. All right, back to the callers here today.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Amber. I'm calling from Michigan. And I have a moody teenager. She's 12, almost 13. And she's just constantly just very moody, just makes herself kind of miserable, just a bad attitude. Anytime I ask her to do something, just says I ruin her life, blah, blah, blah. So it's been a struggle, and I'm just wondering if you have some advice on how to help her and myself. Okay, thank you, and I love your show.
Thank you, Amber. Yeah, I can chuckle because I'm not there, but listen, we have three children, and we had a I have a daughter. Now, she's all grown up on the mission field, but when she was about 10 or 11, I was going to pull my hair out. Talk about moody. She could roll her eyes in ways I didn't know you could roll your eyes, you know? And I'm doing, at the time, I'm doing a radio show with my friend Kevin Lehman called Parent Talk. Some of you remember that. And Kevin would always say, listen, you got to just roll your own eyes back at her. You know, in other words, don't get sucked into the moment. And the point is this. This is a stage. And I hear your heart. Allow her to be moody. Of course, you got to be concerned if it falls into depression and other kinds of things, obviously. But you got to pick your battles carefully. Keep it as light as possible. But when that crosses a line into disrespect or not following through or being disobedient, then there needs to be the discipline. But I think overreacting is not a healthy thing. But it sounds like you're, along with thousands of other parents, going to make it through the moodies. Okay? All right. All right, where do we go next here? Let me see. We've got Nancy, who has a question for me. What's your question today?
Yes, hi. It's an interesting program today, and I have a slightly different kind of twist on the subject of single parenting. I am a single person who is dating a widower who has a young son, and I myself have never been married. I've been more on the work track and find myself in this situation. And, you know, I was just wondering what your thoughts might be on, you know, how best to approach, I guess, the whole package, so to speak. The wonderful man, we both definitely share the same faith and faith-based values, which is wonderful. But I just want to be, you know, respectful of their bond and how best to be, a good supportive influence.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Nancy. I appreciate it. A couple things. You've never been married and don't have children. And you're dating and sounds like you're going to marry a widower. In other words, mom is gone. And there's something that can happen when the parent is gone. I hear from some that feel later like they're shadow boxing a person who's not there. Does that make sense? Because when we have someone we love and we care for and they're taken from us or they're deceased, sometimes the image and the memory is like this big, you know? And then you step in the scene and you're supposed to be the new, quote, mom, and you don't, quote, measure up. And so you feel like you could feel, and it could come back that you feel like you're shadow boxing. Now, you said these are younger children, so that may make an impact as well, depending on the stage of life that they're in. But your question was, what one thing can you do? Here's the key. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And here, the two things that I really would recommend, one is that you and your spouse to be, this man, be in full agreement on all the big stuff. Money, kids, parenting, relationships, in-laws, everything. Get it on the table. Don't assume that anything is going to be in a certain way until you've talked about it and agree on it. Very important. Number two, be very clear and reasonable when it comes to your expectations, because expectations minus reality always equals disappointment. I would, if I were moving into a blended family, I would expect, I know it's going to sound awful, I would expect problems. In other words, if you go in saying, hey, I just expect we're going to have some bumps, then when they come, you're not going to be disappointed. In fact, you'll be waiting for them. I think where we get into trouble is we live in la-la land and enter into a relationship and assume everything's going to be hunky-dory and perfect when it's not going to be. And so those would be the things. And then trust God. If you guys are on the same page spiritually, you're in agreement, go for it. Trust God. It'll be quite a ride for you. It'll be fun. I'd love to hear your story down the road. All right. Let's go to Adrian next in Texas. Looks like you got a little one. What's your question for me?
My question is, lately, me and my wife have been dealing with my toddler son. He's 4, and he seems to be whining a lot. He doesn't take discipline very well from others or his parents, and it's hard to get through to him.
Now, do you have other children, Adrian?
Yes, I have a two-year-old little girl.
Uh-huh.
So he's not the only child.
And you work a lot. I heard you say you're gone a lot, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Are you and your wife on the same page with this, or do you have some marital tension over this?
We definitely have some tension over this. We don't agree. She's very laid back and inconsistent, but then again, I'm not at home like she is, so it's kind of...
Yeah, so you come in, and then all of a sudden, things are going to change. Do you guys have other areas of disagreement in your marriage as well?
We have some, but most of it comes down to disciplining both of our children.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, what I have found, Adrian, is sometimes these are symptoms of bigger issues going on. And we want to talk about a parenting issue when really it's kind of a marriage thing. You sort of left me the impression that, you know, she's kind of weak and not very strong and not following through. And then you want her to do some things differently, and yet you're not there. And so you really have an issue of, are we going to agree to disagree? Are we going to come up with a philosophy on parenting? Are we going to stand together? So if I'm here and not here, we're going to do the same thing? Or are you going to follow her plan or your plan? You just take any sports team. If you have a team on the field and you've got the running back on the football team playing a different, play than the quarterback, you're going to have a problem. And this is true in families as well, particularly when it comes to parenting and these deep, important relationships. And so this is more of a marriage issue. I think the two of you can get with a counselor and just lay it out, or get to a good family conference or a parenting conference. It can make a huge difference in your life and in your marriage and your family. Because without that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. That 4-year-old's going to figure out pretty quickly, hey, I can run the show around here. And he'll run both of you guys around by your nose if you don't. All right. We got another break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Take a look at your life. Do you have areas where you're not making progress or feeling stuck? Maybe you keep returning to bad relationships or habits that aren't helping you grow. In his message, Sharpen Your Edge, Dr. Randy talks about some wise words from Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Here's the universal principle that Solomon is sharing with us. Successful people keep their edges sharp, and unsuccessful people don't.
If you missed your chance to give during our year-end fundraiser, don't worry. You can give now and have your gift matched and doubled by generous friends of the ministry. When you give, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. Don't miss this opportunity to have your gift matched. Your monthly support helps people live an intentional life in Christ. call 888-888-1717 now or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Well, you know, thank you, Kurt. And those of you who are doing that, you're praying for us, getting in on this matching gift, the support, and receiving the beautiful calendar. I want to say thank you to help us close out this calendar year strong. Again, you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. Living an intentional life in this area of parenting is so critical. You and I know the influence in our children and grandchildren's lives today is enormous, enormous. What goes online, on their social sites, and with their friendships, kids are struggling with depression, anxiety like I have never seen in a lifetime. There's more confusion. What we do in our home, the decisions that you and I make in terms of how we run the little 1,500 square foot home we have, or maybe you've got a big one. Maybe you got a 5,000 square foot home. That's a big one, isn't it? But whatever it is that you're living in, whatever the size is, doesn't make a difference. What goes on inside of those four walls is what makes a difference. And how you choose to communicate with your kids, hold your kids accountable, love them, train them, teach them, that's the key. And it really, I say, it's not rocket science. It's just being intentional. Making a decision and then doing one thing every day to be intentional. That's really what we're talking about when we take questions about parenting today.
Hello, my name is Michelle, and I went to the conference this weekend, and I wanted to tell you guys that it was life-changing and that I am wearing my bracelet every day as a constant reminder that I used to be a yeller and a screamer, and that's how I grew up, with my mom doing that to me, and I didn't know any different. And since I have been to the conference, I have made a very conscious effort to not yell or scream at my kids and talk to them calmly and nicely and discipline them in a constant manner. And I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for changing my life.
Well, that's very kind. I have to air a spot like that, right? That's a beautiful thing. But no, the reality is, with God's help, you changed your life. You just chose to say, hey, I'm going to stop yelling. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to do something different. What one thing could you do different in the next 30 days that would make the biggest difference in your family? That's really what we're talking about. All right, let's get back to our calls today on parenting.
Hi, my name is Jeannie. Dr. Carson, what is your intentional number one thing to do for a blended family so they can be successful when there's so many different dynamics coming into the picture?
Yeah, that's true. Jeannie, listen, can I share a couple things? I know one thing, but I shared it earlier in the show here. One is agreement. Agreement. You and your spouse have to be in agreement on all the big things. And if you're not, you're gonna have a nightmare when it comes to daily activity in your home. And you got to stand together when it comes to the kids, because the kids will push and shove emotionally and they'll play games and all of that. But you got to stand together, and then lovingly, of course, supporting the kids and being involved with their lives. And then the second thing, as I mentioned earlier, is expectations. What I have found in my counseling work and working with people is one of the things that gets us into trouble in life is when an expectation is not being met, because it creates disappointment. And so if you have reasonable expectations, knowing, hey, we're going to have problems, we're going to have challenges, I expect that. But at the same time, I know that we can stand together in agreement. Doing those two things can really be life-changing. I really believe that. All right, let's get to the next call. I think it's Tammy, with a question. Go right ahead.
Hello, Dr. Randy. I have a question regarding our parenting. I am married to a great man, which is my son's stepfather. He loves and adores him, calls him dad. But we don't always agree on our parenting. My style is much more laid back, and his is much more pushing. So that's where we struggle. A lot of our arguments are over our son and how he is to do things. So just any advice you might be able to give would be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, the fact that you don't agree, that happens in all families, blended and otherwise, because we bring to the table different views on how things are supposed to be working, how we're going to relate to each other, how the family is going to operate. And that's okay. We can have agreements. We can agree to disagree. The question is this. Are the disagreements over the big things or the little things? Is it style problems, the stylistic part of parenting, or is it about the substance of parenting? If it's stylistic, then we just have to allow each parent to be who they are. They have their own style. Some are a little louder and some are a little quieter and some are more direct and some are a little more laid back. That's okay. But at the end of the day, if we're saying to a child, let me give an example. If you're saying to a 16-year-old, you got to keep your grades up or you're not using the car. Now, that's a reality, right? Mom could come along and gently take the keys away with a lot of love, and the dad may come along a little more forceful and say, there you go, and take the keys away. Two different styles, same result. And so if we're talking about style, I think there's a lot of grace that we need to give. We can observe and give observation on maybe there's a different approach. But I'll tell you what, when we're not on the same page in parenting, when it comes to things like entertainment, money, relationships, faith, when it comes to how we expect homework or the performance, well, about social networks now, everything going on with the media and with social media, then you got a problem. And that's when you need to get behind a closed door and really come to the terms with, we choose to be intentional over the things that matter the most. All right, we didn't get to all the questions today, but we ran out of time. I want to say a huge thank you to our team here. Stephen, thank you for all your work. We're getting closer to the end of the year. Thank you. Stephen is behind the scenes producing this whole show, and Jennifer is so busy in other parts of the ministry, but she comes in and helps out on our program every day. So thank you, Jennifer. And to all of you who are supporting the ministry, praying for us, standing with us, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. It's because of your support that we can do this. How do you support? Pray for us. Financially, you can give. Join us monthly. We want to make sure you get connected with all of our resources. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on the donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. For my wife, Donna, for our family, for myself, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the show today. If you're new, this is Intentional Living. It's a ministry of Intentional Life Media coming to you from our center in Tucson, Arizona. Have a great day.